In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Eleanor. I want you to know we are in need of prophetic people. We are living in the age of death. You see, 60 million children have been killed. And how do we respond to that? We don't, for the most part. We don't even pray about it anymore. This is 60 million people. It's a Holocaust. And now, what happens? To the last minute, even if the baby is in the birth canal, they could kill him. This is very sick. And you know what else is sick? People don't mention this from the pulpit. It's sick. This is something that is happening under our eyes, and we are pretending we don't want to hear it because people might not like it. I don't care what people like. I'm called to be urgent. You hear that word? Be urgent. That's what the announcer said. In season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. I'm reading from Isaiah 6. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and his train of his garment filled the temple. Seraphim were stationed above, and they cried one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory." At the sound of that cry, the frame of the door shook, and the house was filled with smoke. That's the glory of God. Then I said, "Woe is me. I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips." I wonder what he did with his lips. "Living among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the Lord, the King, the God of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, holding an ember that he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, "See now that this has touched your lips. Your wickedness is removed. Your sin is purged." Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" "Here I am," Isaiah said, "send me." I tell you, my friends, when the Lord converts somebody, he's going to give them a job. And you know what the job of Isaiah was going to be? It's a very poor experience. See and see, and you don't see. Hear and hear, and you don't hear. This people has grown hard of hearts. The prophet Isaiah was going to preach a gospel that people were not going to hear or see. At one point in the ministry of Isaiah, he said, "Roll up the scrolls, I am not going to preach anymore. No more." I tell you, if we ever needed a prophet or prophets, we need them today. When we kill children, and you want to know what? I'm going to wake you up. They do the same to the elderly. The elderly are starved many of the times. And I'm telling you, what do we say or what do we do about it? Not much. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Eleanor, tell us how sad it is.
Well, hello, Father. Nice to be with you. And hello, everyone. Well, sad is not the word, Father. Sad is not the strongest word that we could use. It's more than sad, Father. It's unbelievably sad. It's depressing. It's frustrating. It's hard to believe, actually, the way you started out about these latest laws. You and I have been discussing taking a baby's life in the womb, stopping the baby's heart. We've been talking about that forever. And that's terrible. Just stopping the baby's heart at 21 days. I mean, we believe in life from the moment of conception to natural death. And now you see how the abortion people are taking it further. And if you had asked me, I don't know, 2 years ago, I'd probably say, no, I don't think that would ever happen. And we're living at a time where almost every day there's something dark coming along, something unbelievable, something that you think you're watching a movie, like this couldn't be happening with human beings. It couldn't be happening. Nobody would be doing this. But it's happening in our time. And so it's more than sad. I'll have to think of a deeper word. You could almost cry. It's that sad. You could almost cry when you think about where are we going? We are in America. We are Americans. Is this who we are? I mean, it is, apparently. I mean, when you see people sitting together and someone mentions this latest thing about partial birth abortion, and some people clap and other people just sit and they don't clap. They're in darkness. And that's the sad part, Father. They're in darkness. They can't see. And it's hard for me to understand how that happens, but the evil one proceeds very nicely and puts darkness and closes our eyes and makes us blind or closes our ears. And so we shouldn't be surprised at that. We should know that the evil one is working big time, and we have to pray against that and recognize it. But most people, they may, whatever you just said a minute ago, they listen, but they don't hear. Or they hear and they don't listen, whatever, however that goes. But it's an incredible situation that we're in right now. And whether you want to be in it or know this is happening in our country, we have to get over feeling like, I can't believe this. This is frustrating. We have to get over our sadness. We have to do something. We have to act. And we have to be outraged. And I mean in masses. Where's the outrage? There's no outrage. And you mentioned priests speaking about it. I don't know if ministers are speaking about it. It's like a huge elephant. It's like 20 huge elephants in the living room. I don't know whether rabbis are talking about it. I don't know whether the religious community, I'll sum it up, the religious community is, I don't hear anything. I hear a couple things, we have to have outrage en masse. Unbelievable outrage. And until we have that, and now you and I speak, but we need other people to speak, not just a couple or 10 or 20. We need thousands and thousands to see and to hear and to do something. And you know, Father, you just read the first reading from yesterday, and it was the conversion of Isaiah. And at the end, he says, send me. The Lord says, who can I send? And I think he's saying that to me and to you and to everyone who's listening. Who can I send? Who can I send? Now, I might bring up different ways where you could answer that call. But since we're talking about stopping the heart of a baby in the womb at 21 days, and then the last two laws that are coming into effect, in case you haven't heard, as the latest one you're upset about, Father, is the partial birth abortion in New York. It's a law. And the reason these liberal states are doing this, they're afraid with the conservative judges that the Roe versus Wade law will be overturned. So they're making their own laws. So if a baby is about to be born, the head is coming out, and the mother the baby's healthy. They were saying the baby's not healthy. It could happen either way. The baby's healthy or not. But if the mother decides she can't handle this, she doesn't need a baby, she doesn't want a baby, if you can believe this, the baby can be killed while the birth is happening. Now, other states are coming along. You have to beware of the people in Massachusetts that are listening. Follow what's happening here. They're trying to get into the same category as New York, same with Vermont, same with Virginia, same with Rhode Island. It seems to be the Northeast states that are afraid. So they're making these horrible, horrible laws, and people are clapping. And in New York, they lit up the World Trade Center in pink, and a whole bunch of people are standing clapping. Father, the darkness is overshadowing, but the people I'm talking to are the lights. And now, as I've often said before, your light is not a flashlight. Your light is a huge, huge, like a light in a parking lot. And it has to be. It has to be bright and shiny, because you are the lights. This is the time we're living in. I'm sorry to tell you this, but you are the lights. And I used to say to Father, I don't want to be the light. It's too hard. And Father said, well, woe to you. And so you have to be the light. You've called for a time like this. And the Lord, in this particular case, he's saying, who can I send? Who can I send to speak up? And right away when you're listening, you say, oh, yeah, you know, you can send me, Lord. But you know what? I've done that too. You can send me, and then the afternoon the telephone rings, and then dinner served, and by the next day I forget I even told the Lord, you can send me. But this is a promise. The Lord's looking for people that can get outraged. They speak up. They have to speak up at the church. If the priest isn't speaking up, then you speak up during the prayers of the faithful. I don't know how we can counteract the darkness in the religious people in the country. I don't know, but we have to do it. And we can't say somebody else must be doing that. Don't send me, because that's too hard. But this is the time. This reading is perfect. The outrageousness of what's happening is, and there's no outrage. We need outrage from lay people and from the religious community. That's what we're calling for today. Send me. And it's interesting, it would be this part. So send me. Show me, Lord, what you want me to do, but then give me the courage. And then pray about it, but do something. Call the cardinals, call the bishops, call. Just say, I'm outraged at what's happening. Now, the other thing in Virginia, it's a bill. It's not a law yet. But on that one, the baby's actually born. I mean, I hate to tell you this on a Monday morning when you're having your cup of coffee, but there's no more sitting around and thinking somebody else is doing something. The baby is actually born in Virginia. And then the mother says, I don't think I can handle this for some reason, whatever reason, no reason is good enough. And they say they make the baby comfortable while they decide if they're going to have the baby live or die. Now, I mean, you're not reading a book, you're not watching a TV program. This is actually what we're living through right now. And you can tell in my voice, I'm sad, but I'm more than sad. I'm outraged. And some of our priests that we know, they have to speak up. Priests that are listening, speak up from the pulpit. Tell people what's happening and get into deeper prayer, deeper sacrifice. And call people to arms here, because even though you think, well, okay, it's only five states, it's going across America. With people being quiet, that speaks volumes. It speaks like, well, I guess that's all right. I guess it's not too bad. Or what can I do? But that's what I think the Lord's saying. Send me. I can, and he will send you. He will give you the courage, but you do have to take that step in faith and really mean it. Say, Lord, help me, send me. I do want to do something. I do want to spread the word of what's happening more than I did before. Give me the words. Give me the direction. Give me your joy and strength while I do it, and give me the courage. So I think that's an important part that I think I would like to say at this time. I'll let you go on, and then Father, I'll speak about that again, about the send me part.
Where is the outrage from the pulpit? You see, I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that Jesus Christ has died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and on the third day rose from the dead in accordance with the scriptures. But we have a Holocaust that's taken place now. What we sow is what we're going to reap. We have sown, and I know it's more than 60 million. They say 60 million, but I know it's more. And now, even if the child is in the birth canal, they can kill that child. And nobody says anything. Not many. At least the president said something. He said something about it. And he wasn't always pro-life. Oh, send me. But you know what? People don't want to hear it. Too bad. They have to hear it. They have to hear it. Why? Because we are sent to speak to the world the gospel of Jesus Christ, of his death, resurrection. And yet, the things that are happening in our own time, we be quiet about them. What's going to happen when they start taking the elderly? They already don't feed them in the hospital when they're sick, very sick. They let them die. But what's going to happen when they start taking us? Because you're too old. Because you preach too loud. Because what you say causes us to settle down and settle out. It's time for us to change. It's time for us to change. Tell us more about Send Me.
One thing I believe, Father, is that when we're quiet and when we assume everybody else is doing something, I can picture the devil opening a bottle of champagne. And when I picture that, I say, no, I don't think so. And so when you picture him celebrating because of the quiet, it kind of makes you get more determined. And, of course, the other thing, Father, that could be preached at all the masses would be adoption. And, you know, the people that are having their babies killed, there are thousands and thousands of couples that would do adoption. Why they don't make these laws for adoption, I don't understand that. So that's something that should be put on the front burner. And don't be afraid to ask your priest to speak up. They're going to say no, but then ask them again gently and say, we have to hear it from you, and then we'll continue, but we have to hear it from the altar. And the same with people and their ministers, and the same with the rabbis. That's what we need you now. We need you now to have that courage and speak out. We talked about Send Me in the area of abortion and adoption, and we could do something together en masse. But the other part of that too, Father, I think that I heard there are a lot of people that are working, but it's really not what they want to do. They don't know what their vocation is, and they're trying to figure it out. But they are working, but it's not exactly what they want. So the other part of the Send Me, the Lord says, who can I send? Who could I send to be a nurse? Who could I send to be a teacher? Who could I send to write a good book? Who could I send to be a doctor or a lawyer or a fireman? These are vocations. So I'm thinking that's another way of using the Send Me. The Lord wants good people to help his people. One thing Jesus loves is people. And if you're just biding your time, just working, why not think about the Lord sending you a message? He would like you to be a nurse or a teacher or a priest or a rabbi or a firefighter or whatever your dream is, whatever you're thinking. I would always want to do this, but I don't know. I don't think I can. Maybe it's too late. I don't know whether I can manage. Oh, I don't know. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. I'll let my dream go by. But I think what I'm hearing today is the Lord saying he's sending you to do a deeper vocation that would give glory to him and help his people, whatever that is. So do it. And then another thing, like, all right, say you're thinking of becoming a Sister of Life. And, but no, you don't know, da-da-da-da. We always have excuses because, as Father said, when we are sent by the Lord to do something for His glory, we don't have the courage. We're afraid. And Lord says, do not be afraid. I will be with you. I will guide you. I will lead you. Just do it. So I'll use that as a sister of life. They take care of mothers, and they take care of children that are born in the womb and so forth. It's beautiful work. So why don't you just contact the Sisters of Light? Maybe spend 3 weeks there. Like, do something. So whatever it is that I just talked about, different vocations that would give glory to God and help His people, whatever it is, I probably left out a million things, but you know what I'm talking about. So whatever it is, just start to do it. Start writing the book. Start looking into nursing school. Try to get money to pay for nursing school. I think you get the point. So the Lord is sending you to do many things. And I'm also bringing that up as a way to just do it, go forward, and you will see, once you take that step in faith and say, you know what, I'm going to do it, and then do it, do something, and then you'll see the Lord will open the doors, or maybe another door that was related to that. So just go forward, have courage, do not be afraid.
I'm reading from Luke 5. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus, and what were they doing? Listening to the word of God. He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked, and they were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. And he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing." I'm going to tell you, so many people could say that. You want to know why? Because they have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. "We have worked all night but have caught nothing. Oh God, give us the Holy Spirit. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled two boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When then Simon Peter, a sinful man, said, "I am a sinful man," he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. I tell you, Peter is converted, because he was thinking in his head, "Who is this carpenter telling me to go pull out into the deep? I know there's no fish. We've been there all night. We've been there all night." But you see, at the word of God, things begin to happen. At the word of God, things begin to happen. Peter was given a job after he was converted. "Make you fishers of men." I wonder how many fishermen we have. I wonder how many people are out there with their nets trying to catch people who are in the darkness. I wonder how many people we have that preach the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I wonder how many people we have. I'm not only talking about priests and ministers. I'm talking about you. How many people do we have that will go about preaching the word of God to people? If not preaching, I mean saying, "Do you know Jesus? Do you know that He loves you? Do you know that He's got a plan for you?" You know, there aren't many people doing it. They say, "Let Father Tom do it. Let Eleanor do it." But I tell you, we're only two voices. Hundreds of people are listening to me today. You are called to go out and do something. You.
Well, thank you for reading that gospel, Father, because it reminded me of something that happened this week at Planned Parenthood. And there was a tall man, about 26, and he had a woman in Planned Parenthood. And I went over to him to see if I could help. And, Father, he was extremely rude. Get away. Why aren't you home drinking coffee? This is none of your business. And a few other things. So it was not good. So, of course, I walked away. And I'm standing there for about 15 minutes, and I hear the Lord say, go back and talk to him. And I'm like Peter. I said, listen, I've already talked to him, and he was not very nice to me, and I'm not going to be going back to him. So this happened, and it's just like Peter saying, I fished all night. I know what I'm doing here. So, but anyway, what can I tell you? About 10 more minutes went by, and I kept getting that nudge, fish again and go into the deep water again and go over there, even if he was mean. So I did. And the first thing, I walked over there, and he said, I'm so sorry. He said, I apologize. He said, I was extremely rude. And I didn't say that's okay, but he just apologized. But then I had a chance to talk to him. I can't say that what happened after that. I talked to him, told him what we can do, gave him my card, gave him the pictures of the baby in the womb, showed him how we could help. We could do the ultrasound. We help with housing. We help with health care. We do everything that you need. And he said, I'll go back in and talk to her. Now, by this time, it's 11:30. We waited a little bit longer. I'd love to tell you they both came out. That would be a beautiful, happy ending. I don't know that, but at least I got a chance to tell him what we could do, planted a lot of seeds, and I'm glad I went back in. I mean, I'm glad I went over, and Peter was glad he put the nets down. So thank you for listening to that story.
My friends, it's all up to Jesus, but it also is up to you. Go and tell someone about Christ today. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.